everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the discussion Bible study and Sunday school, and we welcome everybody. I'm going to open with a word of prayer because I'm overflowing.
Thank you,
Father, how I woke up this morning, and you were so precious to me. It was so wonderful to feel that little whisk of wind because we opened the windows. And that beautiful sunlight looking over the backyard. I could hardly contain myself. Just love you, Father, and I thank you for the blessings.
Thank you.
So many blessings. We just open our eyes and look for them. Yes. I know this is kind of childlike. I don't care. I just love you. I love you. You're our Father. And you know, today, I hope that you really put an anointing on us. Because, Father, we just want to talk about what you want us to talk about. We want to be the people you want us to be. We want you to show us how to be compassionate and love one another and rejoice with them and have sorrow with them. Father, we want to be just like you, just like you. And when we see you as you really are, Father, we want to be just like you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
When I was just kind of reading over what we're going to start off in anyway, I don't know if we're going to fall off somewhere down the rabbit hole. When I was reading, the Lord kind of said to me, these last five verses in Romans 12:12, they're just like more little love notes from me. They aren't rules. They're not rules. They're just the Father saying, come on up here. Now let's have a talk. You know? And it's not a command. It's a statement. But it's a loving statement. These things are loving statements from our Father's word, especially when he says things, now child, as much as it's humanly possible, be at peace. And I think that we ought to take a look at those last five or six verses in Romans in that way, that they're suggestions, yes, but they are our Father showing us, you can do this if you rely on me. And you know what else? You can't do it if you don't. So let's just start by starting at where I think we ought to start is. I think we read 12:9. Oh, and we did. We went through the business part. Okay, let's just start with 12:12. Okay, who wants to read from 12:12 down to 12:21?
What?
From Romans 12, verse 12, down to Romans 12, verse 21. Can any?
I'll read them.
Okay, thanks.
Rejoice and exalt in hope. This is getting amplified.
Mm-hmm.
Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints, and pursue the practice of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude toward you. Bless and do not curse them, but rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy. Weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another and do not be haughty or snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people and things and give yourself to humble tasks, never to overestimate yourself, to be wise in your own conceit. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, requite, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome and master evil with good.
I like all of those. Does anybody have anything that jumped right into your brain and you want to talk about that was brought up by any of those?
What Bible are you reading from?
Amplified.
That was the Amplified. It just breaks it down more.
I loved, or at least I enjoyed reading, and thought that it brought up a lot of questions we might be able to talk about in 1220. If your enemy hunger, feed him. I think it's the Passion Bible that says, if your enemy is hungry, take him to lunch. Now, that's different than feeding him. You know, that's not throwing him a breadcrumb. Take him to lunch. There's a lot more involved in sitting down and breaking bread with a brother who has offended you than, you know. And win him over with kindness. And then it says, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience. And that to me kind of translates back to, it's going to heap coals of fire on his head. It will awaken his conscience. And God will reward you with favor. And he'll reward your enemy with favor too at that point. You'll heap coals of fire on his head. And even that, you know, I thought, well, that, you know, that God doesn't mean that. He's saying something there, but it's not, you know, putting on the grill.
The iPad. Did you bring the iPad?
I've got it right here. Do you want it? Huh?
No.
Okay.
I need it later.
Okay. In the Mirror Bible, that says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. These acts of kindness will be like heaping coals of fire on his head, and certainly rid him of the dross in his mind, and will win him as a friend. And then it says something of a comment. A refiner would melt metal in a crucible and intensify the process by heaping coals of fire on it. And that's from Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. This is a good strategy. Be sensitive to the needs of your enemies. That's interesting. Be sensitive to the needs of your enemies. They need something. And I think most of us know what they need. God sees gold in every person. Hostility cannot hide our true value. He won us while we were hostile toward him. Hallelujah. His kindness led us to the radical awakening of our minds. And I think that is something that's all wrapped up in heaped coals of fire on his head.
Because our nature is to get even with people that hurt us or do things which are to us an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I remember when Savannah used to come from school, we having problems with a teacher or with someone, crying about how they taught, you know, how they cheated her, and you want to be angry. And I said to Savannah, this is when she's real little, I still tell her this, miserable people treat you miserably, but just pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them, because if people are content and happy, they'll be nice mm-hmm. to you. But when they're like that, it's because they have a problem and an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And just pray for them. They have needs. They have a need. Pray for them. Whether it's stuck or how it is, in all circumstances, I don't know, but really, only through God can we forgive, be loving, and good to our enemy. Because we in ourselves cannot.
Anybody else?
I was reading in Proverbs 25,
mm-hmm.
in verse 22, you know, like, it's the same thing over here in mm-hmm. In Romans 12, but at the end of, in 22 it says, "For in doing so you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord will reward you." Now, what does that do? I mean, is it burning coals? What did you say that was?
You know, the refiner's fire.
Yeah.
You know, they intensify the burning. They intensify the purifying.
Yeah.
By adding burning coals to, but for a purpose, and the purpose of that is to refine the gold.
But what I'm asking is when you say he pulls a fire on his head, is that? I don't know what I want to say.
Yeah, let's take a look at the Strong's.
I can tell you if you. Go I can
ahead.
Tell you what I can tell
sure.
you.
Sure.
In Isaiah, it says, there's a scripture that says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And he said, and he saw seraphims, and he said he had come to the revelation that he was a man of unclean lips. This is Isaiah speaking,
yeah.
And he dwelt in the midst of a people of unclean lips, mm-hmm. and seraphim took coals off of the altar of God,
yeah.
okay, and touched his lips with the coal. And then he began to say after that, "Send thou me, Lord, send thou me," because his talk had been cleansed. His speech had been cleansed, so to speak. And, you know, it's funny because I preached a sermon on that one time, and then Linda wrote a song right after that, you know. She said that inspired the song. I don't know if it did or not, but anyway, that's what she said. And, I want to be your, the words of that song was, "Send thou me, Lord, send thou me. Oh, I want to be your servant, send thou me."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what the angel spoke with him said, "Who shall I send?" You know, after he touched his lips
yeah.
with the coal. And when it's saying, "Pray for those that despitefully use you, and in so doing,
mm-hmm.
you'll heap coals of fire upon their head." Well, the coals of fire are coals of fire off of the altar of God, which will begin to change the way that they think
mm-hmm.
and purify their thinking and make them think in a different way. Just like what Mike said, this is a testimony of basically what Mike said concerning his daughter. What did you say? Doesn't it seem like she's thinking in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you guys prayed for her?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you asked prayer for her in the past 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And we've prayed for her. Well, don't you think that possibly some of those coals of fire have begun to settle upon her
yeah.
thinking process
yes.
and begin to change it? And she said, didn't she even say, "You know, I didn't used to want to listen to anybody. Now I want to hear what people say. I want to listen." And that's a lot of people take this as that, "Oh, God will destroy them. He'll just destroy them." You know, it's not that. It's not that. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And if you were praying that God dump coals of fire on them so they would be destroyed, is that doing good for them?
No,
it's not. You know. So literally what it's saying there is in so doing you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. The coals of fire are to purify and begin to change their thought process, to begin to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in their life.
And you're talking about in verse 20 about, you know, feeding them and giving them water. Is that ministering to them?
That's ministering. That's right. That's right. That's ministering to them. You know, there's a balance in that ministering to people. You know, excuse me. There's a balance in that, in the sense that you minister to people when they have a need, but you don't become an enabler to keep them in that same situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes there is times when you have to say, enough is enough. I can't do anymore because I'm not really helping you. I'm enabling you to continue on in that same situation that you've been in. You know what I mean? And sometimes the harsh reality has to hit people, and that's part of what even the coals of fire of God are. They change the thought process, they change the speech process, they change all of those things. You know, look at what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were cast into what Nebuchadnezzar thought was a furnace of destruction. But what was it in God's eyes? A furnace of release. Because what happened? When they cast them in there, they cast them in there to destroy them. But because God's presence was there, that fire became a loosening thing. It burned the bonds off of them. They bound them and threw them into the fire. And I see four men walking about in there. Four instead of three. And what? The fourth one was like unto the Son of God.
And only God revealed that. There's no way he would know that.
You're right. Right. Nebuchadnezzar saw that, see, with his own eyes. Well, that was God really telling him, you're counting it for fire of destruction. I'm counting it for fire of release. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, when we realize that the tribulation that we go through is not always it's not punishment a lot of times. I reckon the sufferings of this present time, you know, and that applies to us on a daily basis, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Mm-hmm. And buddy, I tell you what, you know, no matter how much fire you're in, you know, the fire is there to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in your life, you know. Now, if all you have is wood, hay, and stubble, there's going to be a lot of burning there. Until you get down to where there's something that's of value, and the only thing that's really of value in any of us is the amount of God that's inside of us, you know, because really the flesh profits nothing. But I hope that explains it to you, because that's, and in Isaiah, I love that scripture back there, and the Lord opened that up to me. And the funny thing was, it said seraphim took coals off the altar and touched his lip. Now, if you read what a Christian interpretation of seraphim is, it's all they were angelic beings and all this and that. And you know what the literal meaning of that word seraphim is? A fiery winged serpent. Mm-hmm. A fiery winged serpent. Now, you know, when he looked at that thing, it says that thing, with twain he did cover his face, with twain he did cover his feet, had four wings, and feet four is talking about the earth, and, you know, I'm getting a little bit deep stuff here, but four is talking about the earth and creation is what it's talking about. And what he was really saying there is, you'll no longer see the walk of the serpent or the face of the serpent, you know. And you know, we have to realize that there's a lot of tremendous truths in the Old Testament. I mean, you know, there's nothing in the New Testament that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament, and sometimes revealed even plainer sometimes, if you really understand it, what was going to be shown in the New Testament, you know.
When it says you will be rewarded,
yeah,
you're really, I see, being blessed.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. By what? Because I know when there was this landlord of the property around that,
yeah,
and her, I had some runs with
the granddaughter, I couldn't stand her, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And God told me to pray for her.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the more I prayed for her,
yeah,
the more I felt this coming up within me,
right,
a love and concern for her.
Right.
And seeing her differently,
right,
regardless of how her actions were.
Right.
And how that, I would speak to her, smile at her, and one day she came into the laundromat with her new baby and the little boy, and she said, hi, just like we've been friends forever, and I know it was only God that had been dealing, but I know out of it, it blessed me also and blessed her, and now whenever I've seen her, I went over and talked to her and held her baby and all that. And I know it's because of what God has done, it's nothing that I have done. Plus, he dealt with me and how I felt. Yeah.
Kenneth, you got something?
Well, I thought we were talking about, I guess, the things you said, it makes it end, but my verse that I like,
mm-hmm,
when I talk about God,
mm-hmm,
and wisdom and everything,
mm-hmm,
is, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable,
mm-hmm,
are his judgments,
mm-hmm,
and the way past finding out.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a wisdom,
mm-hmm,
that God has. I don't know where he gets it, but it's so beyond us,
mm-hmm,
that things that he does,
mm-hmm,
that so I was just reading about, you know, his wisdom and his riches and,
mm-hmm,
and how he goes about doing things, you know, his punishment is not our punishment.
Right.
Me, I'd say, now that I'm saved and everything, you know, I get angry when I, 'cause I still have friends remember back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it hurts me when I, because they're still the same.
Yeah.
They've never changed. They're still, well, I guess you'd call wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
they're old.
Mm-hmm.
They're around my age. Grow up, you know, listen what's going on,
right,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have much longer. So, listen to what God says, because
mm-hmm,
he is wisdom.
Yes.
And he won't tell you a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
He gets right to it.
Yes, yes, he does.
And sometimes you don't want to know what he's going to do to you next.
That is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deep, good share.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
Well,
you know, that reminds me of that one scripture that says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's the only thing that's going to work. And sometimes it takes several coals of fire to renew that mind. You know, they got to sometimes cut away the gunk in there, you know, in your mind, the things that you've, you know. But to me, when he's talking about us as his little children and he loves us and he's just going to, you know, this to me is the time of sweet, our dad's talking to us, and he's talking to us in a sweet, wonderful way, not, you know.
Yeah.
And I think when I say, you know, like, if your enemy is hungry, take him out to lunch. I think of a guy in it. My father is being an old guy that's been in business for years and years and years, you know. And he knows the ways of the world, but he also knows the ways of God. Mm-hmm. And it's the last thing in the world. But you know, you see people that are really, really successful, just like an old guy named Gene Ackerman, owned a grocery store down Bramble and Wetzel, and that's where we did most of our shopping. When I was a little kid, we used to walk into his store on the way home. The man never met a man he didn't like, and it was true. And there was a sign up in his store. I've never met a man I didn't like, you know? And you could see that in him. But what a successful guy he was. There was a fundamental air about that space that was friendly. You know what I mean? Everybody that worked for him was happy. You know, it was just fun to go in there. We used to go in there all the time. And I think that has a lot to do if your enemy, as a person that you see as your enemy, is hungry, take him to lunch. Break bread with him. Show him some of yourself. And this thing that we were talking about, our daughter, I'm seeing, as we're talking today, that it's not all her that's changed. We've changed. Because for the last 10 years, we were younger Christians than we are today. And God has heaped some coals of fire on us. And we've grown, and we've grown, and we've let things go. And
I'm
we
still
found
burning.
Out, yeah, and we have found out that, you know, take your enemies. We found out things. And what we found out with her is, don't judge her. Just love her. Don't judge her. Just love her. Don't give her the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, you should do this. Or why did that? World, did you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And when we stopped saying that, and just said to her, you know what? You are so worthy of the love. And we are going to love you until you learn how to love yourself. And build that love thing up inside of her. That she said. And then she said to us one day, she says, you know, I set myself up for this. That when this guy left her with $20 and no car and no this and no that. She says, I set myself. See, this wall of ignorance came down. And she could see truth.
Blind as well.
Yeah. And from all those years, I said, you know, you're just so good. You couldn't say it to her from the outside. She had to feel it coming from the inside,
yeah.
From inside of herself. But you know what's inside of herself? God. It's right there inside of her trying to tell her to. And so when the time is right, when God's time is right, and there's always a time when God's time is right.
God draws
to maturity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I like these kids that I hang around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did a lot of crazy things. And not that that was good, but we was having fun as what. It wasn't good or bad, it was fun. So, and I can just see God shaking his head like this. what are they doing now? What are they gonna do now? But some of them won't give it up. They still smoke pot. He said, you wanna drag eyes and home. I never was in that anyway, that much. I mean, but I tried to get them to see a different path. Of course, I'm not there yet, but it's pretty close. I just, because I know, and I know you all don't believe in God, in hell, but I can just see them going there. Because they, well, anyway.
You're a witness to them, though. They've known your previous life. If you've been friends with them and been doing the same thing, but the more they look at you, I believe God will create a hunger in them to want what you have, because they know the peace you have now. They see a difference in you. So you're really a witness to them, and you've got to remember that God can draw them just like he drew you and me and all of us. We weren't going looking for God, that's for sure. We got him because he was drawing us. He drew us. He opened our eyes to our need.
Well, see, that's what gets me. He does it in his time.
That's right.
I wanted to do it in my time.
Oh.
You know.
He had his time for you. He'd like it for me and all of us.
Yeah. But
hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, the interesting thing with our daughter is the fact that Kath and I, we've been preaching to her for years, and she has a friend who came to her when all this was going down, and he told her exactly like it is. We couldn't say that to her.
Mm-hmm.
But God put him in her life.
That's right.
Right.
To say the things that she needed to hear.
Yes. That he would, you know, that she would
sometimes
receive. Because of
we try so hard. We try so hard to do it, but God was using somebody else to do it.
Yes, Jesus.
And sometimes, you know, when you're close to somebody, that's when it's the hardest to.
Yeah.
That's when it's the hardest to get it through.
More and more as I walk along, I see that our walk is that no sweat walk. If we're trying, you know, there's some little thing of unbelief if we think, oh, I got to do this or it won't get done. Because God has already accomplished it all. And anytime we feel ourselves getting out of control or out of faith contact with his ways, and, you know, when we think we got to fix this, I always find that to be something that I got to look at right away. You know, he is God and I am not.
Yeah, it's hard to do that.
He can use a donkey,
especially somebody like me. You know, when I want them, I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got burnt a lot of times when I did that. You know, I want it right now. And I got some pretty hairy things by being that way. I'm learning.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
But my heart goes out to them, but I don't want to be them anymore. So I just hang around with Debbie.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful testimony.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes when you start walking with the Lord, you know, you have to let go of some people in your life, because they're just you're not that person anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, and you recognize that you're not that person anymore.
You don't have anything in common with a really.
But the verse that I read, that's God has wisdom. Mm-hmm. And his judgment is wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's his judgment. Mm-hmm. Wisdom. Because he won't give you something that you're not ready for.
That's right.
And but I just like that verse anyway. Mm-hmm. It was on chapter 11.
Okay.
And at the end,
let's read it.
And I have it circled in blue. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Yep. There's an interesting footnote in here that says, where is it here? Why does Paul tell us to forgive our enemies? Number one, forgiveness breaks a cycle of retaliation and leads to mutual reconciliation. Two, it may make the enemy feel ashamed and change his or her ways. This is what I like. By contrast, repaying evil for evil hurts you just as much as it hurts your enemy.
You know, have you ever watched television where they'll have a trial on? And I mean, it'll be a real actual trial. And, you know, the family has maybe had someone, lost somebody that another person's killed them or something. And, you know, they'll get up there and they'll say, you know, they think they should get the death penalty and all this kind of stuff. And then if they go back and talk to them people later on and ask them, did you really feel any satisfaction later on when that person died? Or any change in the way you felt? And usually they'll say no. They say, like, you know, it didn't relieve what I thought it would. You know what I mean? Was that, you know, the thing about it is that when, you know, a perfect example of God's judgment, and I mean, you couldn't get more perfect than that, was when the woman was caught in the act of adultery. According to the law, she was to be stoned to death. I mean, that there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. According to the law, she was to be stoned to death. And what did Jesus do? He got down and he wrote in the dirt, you know, and we know that, and we don't know what he wrote. He could have wrote anything. I mean, I've heard preachers say, well, he wrote a bunch of sins in the dirt or whatever. Nobody knows what he wrote in the dirt. But then he looked up at them and he said, he among you that's without sin cast the first stone. And it says that they went away from the eldest down to the youngest. And what was he doing there? He was showing the wisdom of God, and he actually was showing the judgment of God. In other words, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have. And it doesn't depend on what we've done. It depends on what he did.
Yes.
See, he became our righteousness. He became our peace. He became our justification. He became our reconciliation. He did all that. We didn't do it. He did it. And like Kathy was saying, Brenda actually was saying this. She said, I wasn't looking for God. He was looking for me. and that's what you got to realize is that, you know, I heard this testimony, and I had a tremendous testimony. Where this woman, you know, she had a terrible, terrible life. I mean, she was taking drugs and doing all this stuff, and you know, all of her friends were all like that, you know. And she was down in Mexico with her boyfriend, you know, and the boyfriend was from a very wealthy family, and I mean, you know, they had all kind of money. And according to the world, she thought she had everything that you could possibly want in the world, but she wasn't satisfied. Well, then you know, she basically shared her she had an encounter with God, you know, and she ended up giving her life to the Lord. And she called one of her friends, you know, and this is how it works sometimes. She called one of her friends, and about 30 or 40 of her friends had all got saved. These people she ran out and did all this stuff with, they had got saved while she was gone. And she said, they told her, we were praying for you, you know. And what happened? She had her encounter with God. Well, what does she do now? Her husband that was, you know, buying her drugs and doing all this stuff, and they were having all these wild parties and everything, he's a minister now. And she's I guess she would probably be considered the first, you know, black churches, they call them the first lady of the church, you know. She'd be the first lady of the church, I guess, you know. But her testimony is just tremendous, because it just goes to show you that no matter where you come from or what you do, when God, you know, when God starts seeking after you, you might as well just come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to come on than it is to resist it. And you know, once we realize that we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to do some of the works, because he does. But even when you fall short in that, he doesn't condemn you in that. You know, because it's not about that, it's about what Jesus did. And like I say, that example of the woman caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus, what did Jesus say to her? He says, woman, has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I mean, that was God's judgment.
That's God's judgment.
Now, there's a scripture that says, know you not that the saints will judge the world. Everybody thinks that God's going to judge the world now. But it says the saints will judge the world. Okay? If the saints are going to judge the world, what judgment are you going to be able to put on people? And it says we'll even judge angels. It talks about that. We'll even judge angels. And if we're going to judge the world, what kind of judgment are you going to have to use? You're going to have to use the same mercy, the same forgiveness, the same not laying things to their charge. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to do the same thing God did to you. Or you'll be in that parable of the guy who owed his master a bunch of money, and his master forgave him.
Yeah.
And then he went to the person that owed him some money, and he was going to turn him over to the tormentors and do all this stuff to get his money. Well, you know what happened then? You know, he'll have judgment without mercy to him that has shown no mercy, but mercy will rejoice in the face of judgment. That's in James. And literally, you know, the saints are going to judge the world, but they're going to have to be judged first, in the sense that God will deal with them and straighten up their own lives a lot, you know. And when they, you know, sometimes you hear Christians, and boy, they got the hardest yes. attitudes concerning things yes. out there, and you think, wow, man, how can they? And you're not, you know, you're not trying to be critical of them, but you're saying, how in the world can they be so mean toward people and talk all this yeah. hateful stuff? Mm-hmm. And you know what? But that's not for us to judge. That's yeah. all in God's hands. He'll deal with them when the time is right. They'll come to the place where, you know, same thing I'm saying to them not to do, I'm doing it too, you know. You know what I'm saying. And once we come to that place of really growing up in Christ, you know, we're gonna be reconciling the world unto God. And he's given us the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Not laying anything to their charge. Amen. Now, you know, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. You know, I remember how you said originally, like with your husband,
that
he was mean to you, and you know, but you know what? Somewhere down the line, you're going to have to just say, Lord, forgive that man, restore him, whatever. And God will take you to that place eventually, whether it's in this side of the veil or the other side of the veil, somewhere. You'll do that, because in doing that, you'll release him into God's presence.
And yourself.
And yourself. Yeah, always does more for you a lot of times than it does for the person. You know.
Yes. Jesus did that. He was saying, why should I do that? Did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Why would you?
Yeah.
Because you would be showing him the same mercy that God showed you.
I didn't beat up anybody.
No, but Jesus was beat up for you.
Yep. Many stripes.
It said his vestige was worse than any man's. Now, they tried to depict that, but I honestly believe they beat him to the point where you couldn't have even known him. He was just beat to the point where he was totally unrecognizable, you know. His vestige was worse than any man's, you know. In other words, he was just beaten just to a pulp.
He should have been dead, but he did not give up.
Yeah, yeah. And what did he say when they hung him on the cross? Father, forgive them.
Yes.
They don't know what they do. Now, what you have to pray is that, Lord, give me the forgiveness. Help me to forgive, you know. And he's the one that has to change. You can't change yourself. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is pray and say, Lord, help me to forgive past hurts and past things. And I tell you, it's hard. And God will put you in situations where you will have to do it. I mean, you know, I grew up with my brother, you know, aggravating the life out of me sometimes, you know, making fun of me because of the epilepsy I had back then and stuff. And we fought, but I knew he loved me. But it was just something, for some reason, he resented me and stuff. So where did I spend 20 years working at? Where did God put me for 20 years? Working with him every day. And him not keeping his word to me while I was working there and all this kind of stuff. And then when he was in the hospital and basically in the process of dying, for a month, who was up there every day? Me. What was I telling him every day? God was dealing with him, and he was saying, "Oh, I've done some terrible things. I said, "Wiley, God has forgiven you." I said, "You've been forgiven." I said, "You can let all that go." I said, "Jesus forgave you. You know." He took your sins on Calvary.
That was beautiful.
You know,
because he was really repentant.
He was, so see? What? But see, that's where the Lord had to take him to come to that place. And you don't know that some of your friends, right before they go to see the Lord or whatever, if they don't come to that place of saying, "Lord, I've got to have you," you know. I mean, you know, you might not never see that. You might not never know it. And even with your husband. Your former husband, he might have done that. He might have committed his life to the Lord right before he died.
No, he didn't.
Well,
how do you know?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Now, how did you turn that around on me?
Well, I'm just telling you.
God still owns us.
No, I'm not turning it around on you. I'm just telling you. I remember you saying that. And I can see that God has softened you up so much in the past 2 years.
Yes.
I see a tremendous change in you.
Yes.
And I have to smile when I see it, because I know how God changes me. He changes you. He changes all of us.
Yes.
And part of it is he lets a little bit more of that fire come forth. You know, John the Baptist said, there's one standing among you. He said, "I baptize you with water," but he's going to baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and what?
Fire.
And you know what? And he said, and his fan is in his hand, his winnowing fork or a fan. Well, you can take it either way. If it's a fan, what do you do when the fire gets ready to go down a little bit? You fan it. You get some more air going in there, and that thing rears back up. Or the winnowing fork, you know, what happened there? When with the wheat. They'd toss it up into the air. Why? So the wind would blow it hard. It would start separating the chaff. It would land back down on the thrashing floor. And then what did they do on the thrashing floor? They ran carts over it, let animals walk on it and everything else to crush it. And you know what? We are that wheat. We get crushed every day in some one way or another. And just about the time you start thinking, boy, I'm really getting there and I'm right there, guess what? Gotta let you know, you ain't there yet. You know what's gonna happen.
You gotta do that every day.
Just real quick, I watched this thing yesterday. And I don't know if any of you guys ever watch YouTube, but I watched this thing with Michael Franchisi. And Michael Franchisi was a mafia guy. And, you know, he was in the mafia for years, and his whole family was a big mafia guy. And he ended up going to prison for 9 years and all this stuff. And he ended up getting saved, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, he was talking to John Gotti's, basically hit guy, you know. Mm-hmm. They had them sitting talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was getting upset. Michael Franchisi was getting upset. Because this guy, Michael Franchisi and his wife was in church, and his wife looked over at him and said, "We need to pray." And I'm trying to think of a guy's name. It's slipping my mind. We need to pray for this guy, you know, because he still thinks he's in the life, you know, but he's out of prison and all this stuff. And he killed 19 people, you know, this other guy did. And he said, "We need to pray." She said, "We need to pray for him." And they prayed for him. And then Michael wrote that prayer out and sent it to him. Well, he was mad. He told him, "What do you mean sending me a prayer? You know, I don't know, all this kind of stuff." Mm-hmm. And Michael started getting upset, and they were going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Before it was all over with, Michael apologized, and he said, "I didn't react very well." And see, that God a lot of times has got to bring you around and let you know you ain't as far along as you think you are sometimes. You know what I mean? Where you're at depends on me in you, not that's you right. in you. You know what I mean? And that's basically what was happening there. But I mean, they
what
said...
What happened? He apologized, and what happened?
The other guy didn't receive his apology.
Not yet.
But see, that prayer that they prayed for him, give it some time. Somewhere down the line, the Lord will get a hold of him. Something will happen
take
here.
That,
you know.
Open it up to him.
Yeah. But you know, those guys, you know, it's that tough guy persona. And my brother was like that. He was always telling you stories about he got a fight with this guy or a fight with that guy, and going in bars and him and somebody else nailing the door shut, and they're going to it, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, they got in a lot of fights and that kind of stuff, and he could fight pretty good. I mean, I don't fought with him a bunch of time, you know. But anyway, you know, what's he telling me in the hospital? "I'm not really a tough guy. I'm not really a tough." And he was always his persona one, tell everybody how tough he was and everything, telling all them stories. "I'm not really a tough guy," he was saying. I thought, well, you know, I knew you weren't really a tough guy. I knew that you was really a soft guy underneath. The Lord was there, you know. But, you know.
God is so faithful. You know, we were teenagers, me and my younger sister, and these two other sisters, the two other sisters that passed.
Yeah.
And I remember Betty telling us, she said, we would be up in the restaurant that Perry and Sophie had.
Yeah.
And they lived upstairs. And they look out the window because there was a club across the street, and there was us kids out on the street carrying on. She said, "We would look at y'all and watch y'all and pray for you." She said,
you
don't know how much that we prayed for you and those and all those. And she said, "And you know what? You stood out among them all." She said, "This is very, how Betty just she was a spiritual mother to me after I got saved, how she discipled and ministered to me."
Have you ever thought about that scripture that says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much"?
Yes.
Effectual and fervent. And fervent has the connotation of being a hot prayer, you know. And what are you doing when you're praying for somebody? You're saying, "Lord, pour the heat on."
And that she pour, said, she
"Send the fire.
For
send
all
the fire." Because what's the fire going to do? It's going to begin to burn up the wood and hay and stubble in their lives, you know.
And she said, "And you stood out. You stood back many times, and all this is going on. and you stand back. You're a part of them. Because she said, God showed us that you were a leader. Yeah. She said, this is after I got saved. And I was the first one of all of them to get saved. Yeah. You know how God, dealt with us. And I just thank God. That is precious, precious, precious.
Well, the thing about it is the Lord, and even probably in a lot of things, the Lord probably didn't let you go as far as others did.
That's right.
And that was the way with me a lot of times. He kept me back from things. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, I could have ended up in prison a bunch of times, but something would happen where I wouldn't go with them guys, or I wouldn't get involved in what they were doing. And I'd say, no, I'm not doing that, mm-hmm.
That's what he did with Bobby, his brother. He shared that many times. There was things he was going to go or be with the guys to do this, and he would come right back home or wouldn't go because
God gave him that gift.
God just to let him know.
He would be getting ready to go to the skate rink, and he'd be walking down the street. Then he'd watch him, all of a sudden turn around, come back, go in his bed, take off his clothes.
Yeah.
Then they found out that he saw what was going to happen to him if he went there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't get that gift.
I think our Chris was very much the same way. He loved to hang around with the bad boys, but he was always around the fringes. And he'd get in so far and then he'd go up.
I was pulling back always. When I was a teenager, I hung around with these guys that all they want to do was fight. Mm-hmm. Where we went, and like we'd go out of town and go to the center to play basketball. Here we come. They want to fight somebody.
Yeah.
I said, I know girls in this town, and why I want to fight, and they're going to throw me out of the town,
But
I just had that feeling that somebody's going to fight, I try to get away from them.
Right. Well, that was the Lord keeping you out.
Sure was. Because
you could have been right there in the middle of it and got killed or got hurt.
But I was a fighter, not a lover.
I believe that you can. A lot of people don't believe that you can, but I believe that you can. Yeah. I believe what's going to happen is honestly, here's, and you can take this for whatever you want. I believe that there's going to come a time when every knee is going to bow.
Yes.
And every tongue is going to confess.
Yes.
Now, whether it's on this side, the other side, whichever. And I believe that when that happens, I honestly believe that they'll be restored.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because Jim, my son, had a friend.
Yeah.
Well, he was my friend. He was a kid.
Yeah.
And he just died Easter. And he died in a fire. Mm-hmm. He was sleeping. And of course, knowing him, he was passed out.
Yeah.
You know, so he couldn't get out. He was in a trailer. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get out. And so he was burnt out.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, I just because you're talking about somebody dying in a fire, a lot of people don't realize this, but when somebody dies in a fire, a lot of times people tend to think that they burned up.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in a fire, you die before you ever burn, because what happens is that smoke gets you and you're gone, you know. And when you actually get burned up, you ain't in that body anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fumes is what'll get you. That's why they tell you when you're in a fire to get down and crawl close to the ground, because you know heat and stuff rises.
So he didn't get saved.
Well, I don't know that he didn't, and you don't know if he. How many people have ever been in a situation to where you'll hear somebody or you'll see where somebody was in a bad situation, and one of the first things that comes out of their mouth is, oh God, help me. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens a lot. And what does scripture say? If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved?
Yes.
and we don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to judge about people that have passed from this life into the next. I personally feel like that they'll be restored. Jesus went down, it says, into the, whatever you want to call it, where the captives were captive, and preached to them, I believe, those 3 days that he was supposed to be in the grave. And it said, and he led captivity captive.
Yeah.
Now, if he led captivity captive, what happened to captivity? It ain't there no more. He took it away. You know, and, you know,
I don't think God wants to lose anyone.
Please?
I don't think God wants to lose anybody.
I don't believe he does either.
Well, in his will be done. Yeah.
There's a scripture that says he's not willing that any should perish.
Yes.
Now, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and he's not willing, then guess what?
No.
It ain't gonna happen. You know.
Well, and we got clear, I know. But yeah. is something of what we're talking about having to do with maybe the second death and the great judgment and all of that? Sometime I'd like to get that all clear in my mind. Yeah. But that second death is not eternal. It's that your knee shall bow.
Yeah.
You'll see clearly.
Yeah.
Anyway, we better close, guys.
All right. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord. Give you praise, Father, for revealing yourself every time we come together. If you open your eyes, you give us wisdom, Father, your wisdom, oh God. So as we go to the following service, Father, be glorified.
Yes,
in the worship, in the word, and all that is said and done, just commit away into your hands and give you the praise and the glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.